Thank you, mighty God. This day that you have created. Oh, let's just lift our hands for a little bit here and just give him thanks for this day that we can worship him. Oh, mighty God, thank you, Lord. Open our hearts, open our minds for what we are expecting to receive today, Lord. Lord, give us revelation. Open our tongues and our mouths to worship you greater and greatly. Oh, Lord Jesus, that we could present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto you. Oh, mighty God, we ask in your mighty name. Amen. Thank you all. You guys may be seated. For being out here for Sunday school, I promise you that this message is for all of you in here because it has to do with the foundation of everything that we believe in. Everything that we believe in. A matter of fact, belief cannot happen without this. All religions require this. And if it does not have this aspect, this one thing, then you cannot believe. Matter of fact, you can't have joy, you can't have love. We're just a bag of flesh and bones with no drive to become anything. There is no Savior, there is no God if you do not have this aspect in your life. And that one thing that we need, that we hope, that we desire to have, what keeps us and pushes us day to day is hope. It is hope. If we do not have hope, then what do we have? Nothing. If we could just close our eyes for a moment and repeat after me, my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is that Jesus Christ is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back. It's not something you hear often, the coming of Christ. But that is where I put my hope, that I am not left here alone, that he has never left me or forsaken me, that he is here with me even today, right now. The constant word of hope has been changed through the ages. Romans 8 and 18, for the reading of the word. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall deliver from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, why doth he hope for? But if we hope for what we not see, then we wait for it patiently. For we are saved by hope. We are saved by hope. It is the initial feeling of the belief of any religion. Hope. And if we could really get a hold of what hope meant, the emotion of hope, it would bring tears unto our eyes, into our spirit, because it is the foundation of our soul. Without it, we are animalistic beasts on this earth with no direction, no future, no ambitions, living day by day labeled as primates on this earth. Evolution. Where do you think the theory comes from? Though we have to put hope in something, they put the hope in science, saying that we don't have to live by the rules of God because God does not exist. We are just primates. We are beasts. Well, if that's the case, then your hope is completely lost. There's no reason to have hope. The only thing that I'm here for is to reproduce. So what is hope? The modern idea of hope is to wish for, to expect, but without certainty of fulfillment, to desire very much, but with no real assurance of getting your desire. In other words, Are the Dolphins gonna win the Super Bowl? Well, I hope so. I'm not a Dolphin fan. I'm a Patriot fan, but we're in Florida. I might as well say Dolphins. I got one over there. Yeah, not gonna happen. But we say I hope so. Hey, am I gonna get that house? I hope so. I'm in the middle of trying to get a house. I hope I get it. Thank the Lord. But we say, I hope so. It's wishful thinking. There's no assurance behind it. And that is the modern day term that has corrupted what biblical hope means. Because biblical hope means this: a strong and confident expectation in the assurance that God is God and his promises are true, and that we should expect in our hope of him because he is God. And time again, we see in Scripture that the outcasts are being healed, the sick are being restored. Those who are spiritually or emotionally afflicted, forgiving sins, freeing people from shame. Jesus is doing it over and over again, fulfilling the need of hope that I can't do it by myself. There is darkness that is in my heart. And that's the first thing that we need to confess to ourselves, that within me I am dark. And there is a hope to be better. There is a hope that my sins can be forgiven. There is a hope that I can be godly and righteous in his eyes through him. And whenever Jesus went, people felt the presence of hope. As soon as they got off the boat, people recognized Jesus. And they went and they gathered people who were sick. They dragged them on mats. They took them to the marketplaces just for one glimpse of him. For the hope that their disease and their sickness might be healed. Because they had a need. And they would beg him to let them touch the edge or the corner of his cloak. In the book, The Liberatory of Liberation, Theodore Jennings says this of Jesus: he liberates the blind from darkness, the lame from immobility, the sick from disease, the possessed from madness. He shatters the bonds and the customs of class. He breaks open the iron shackles of legalism. He summons the dead to life. He transfers water into wine and death into life. He announces deliverance to the captives and sets at liberty those who are oppressed. This is the Jesus that I serve. God was recounseling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he committed to us a message of reconciliation. Be reconciled to God. God, who is made of no sin, yet took on all sins for us. Hope means that our past no longer limits us. We are no longer bounded or held down by our past. We no longer have shame or regret, but we have forgiveness of sins. It is the word, it is the action in God's rule that draws us near to us, or draws God near to us, shattering the bonds that we are held by. Hope means that God's love has sufficient power to unleash our deepest potentials. A man who just met Jesus, he was an emotional wreck. He actually had spiritual anguish within him, and he lived next to the tombs. This is where he lived. He slept, and he was naked, and he would cry out, and he would cut himself with stones. He would mutilate himself because he was troubled by the spirits around him. The moment that he met Jesus and Jesus stepped into his life, the man's anguish was free. And his affliction ran the other way, and the man was transformed from being naked to being fully clothed and in his right mind. But I wonder how that man felt while he was cutting himself and he was ripping himself apart. The type of hope that was dwelling in him, that maybe one day a Savior could come along and help him. Have we ever been in a place to where I am so low, I'm so depressed, I'm so alone, I'm so hurt, that I need a Savior? I hope in a Savior. I hope to be healed. And Jesus still offers this fragrance of hope today. It's captured in the biblical word called salvation. Salvation describes what God has done, is doing, and will do on the behalf of men and women who suffer for the misery and the mortality of this meaningless and human condition. We discover this word salvation, this hope, in moments of transparent honesty as we begin to admit our brokenness and our sin and our hurt and pain to Jesus Christ, that we need a Savior. This world needs a Savior. As we open our lives to Jesus, we open ourselves to God's healing presence. Jesus forgives us and frees us from past regrets. His love can heal wounds and afflictions that are suffered. As our forgiver and leader of our lives, His grace can restore us to our deepest potentials. Jesus brought hope wherever He went. He still brings hope to me and you today. We may find ourselves with an open heart to this word hope and healing and being redeemed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it is said here that a man can live 40 days without food. This is science. 6 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but not 1 second without hope. Not 1 second without the biblical meaning of what hope is. Not 1 second. In the 1930s, people jumped out of the window because of the Great Depression. They leaped to their death. They cut their wrists. They overdosed. They shot themselves. They threw themselves in front of buses and trains. They hanged themselves. All because for one moment they lost all hope in their faith of material things. Money was everything to them. Their car was everything to them. Their house was everything to them. They put their faith in material things. And when the material things failed them, all hope was gone. And they casted themselves off the top of buildings. They threw themselves in front of buses and trains. Because of this word, hope was transformed into something material. I hope for that house. I really want it, and I can get it because I have the money, and I love and I have faith in material things. And it destroyed them. It destroyed them. But the hope of God is certain. There is assurance. It is steadfast. Hope is never static or passive. It is dynamic. It is active. It is directive. It is life-sustaining. This is everywhere obvious that we read the word. If you just take a concordance and look up hope, you will see story after story of the works of hope and faith working together. You will see that if you live in the true biblical definition of what hope is, that your life will be full of abundance, that you will have fruits beyond measure. Just because you have the foundation of your religion and of what you believe, your hope is right. Because if we have our hope, our foundation wrong, then everything else is wrong. If you build your house upon sand, then what's going to happen? It's going to fall. But if you build it upon the rock, if our hope begins in Jesus Christ and not in money and material things, then your house will stand strong. In other words, a biblical hope is not an escape from reality or from problems. It doesn't leave us idle, drifting, or just rocking in the front porch. If our hope is biblical and based upon the promises of God, it will put us in gear and move. This is why the devil is actually after our hope more than faith. In the Old Testament, we actually see this, that he goes after the hope. Matter of fact, the word hope is mentioned more than faith in the Old Testament by a lot. Matter of fact, faith isn't mentioned all that much in the Old Testament, but hope is. Put your hope in the Lord. The devil is as a roaring lion that walketh about, seeking who he may devour. He is after your hope, a thief that come, but not to steal and to kill and to destroy. The devil who wants your soul in hell by stripping away your faith and your hope and love, because these are the three things that are most powerful in our lives. It's what? It's faith, it's hope, and it's love. But if he can get rid of the foundation, which is hope, because you can't have love without hope. You cannot have faith without hope. And if he can strip away the foundation of hope, then he doesn't have to worry about the other two. And this is why he attacks the foundation of what you believe. The devil who wants our soul in hell. In the 1930s, we had a tremendous thing happen. It was World War II. And the devil's no fool. He's watched us from the beginning. He knows everything about you. Or he just knows the carnal mind. He knows how to use your flesh against you. He just knows how to do it. He did it with the very first, with Adam. He used the woman that was closest to him. And he caused him to sin. But in the 1930s, the Holocaust, it was a genocide of approximately 6 million Jews. 6 million Jews. And millions of others during World War II. It was a program of systematic state-sponsored murder by Nazi Germany, led by Adolf Hitler throughout Nazi-occupied territory. Of the 9 million Jews who resided in Europe before the Holocaust, approximately two-thirds of them perished. More than 1 million were children. 2 million were women, and 3 million were Jewish men. There are stories about these concentration camps where they died. In Auschwitz, and some of the other ones that were found in Poland, of men who worked. And they worked out in the fields, and they worked pretty much building the war machine of Nazi Germany. They worked giving supplies and doing whatever they could for very minimal food, because they were actually a science experiment. How much food can I give this person? And how long can they work? And that I can get the maximum result of one person before they die. They were counting on them to die. And in the midst of this, they found men that they didn't realize this would happen, but they found men who would not get out of bed. The soldiers would come, they would punch them, they would hit them, they would tell them to get out of bed. But the men would rather die. Their hope was completely lost. They were so broken that there was no reason for them to get out of bed. And the Nazis gave them a name. The name was the dead among the living. In other words, a zombie. Because they had no drive, they had no ambition, they were truly broken. Because every day was a day of hopelessness. Every day was a day of abuse. It was a day of hurt. It was a day of working out in the fields. It was a day that they were reminded of their family that was stripped away from them. Their children that were stripped away from them, and they heard the stories of the gas chambers, because women and children, there was no use for them. So they killed them. And these men lived every day through the anguish of the loss of their family. Hopelessness. It's something that the devil knows how to do so well. So why is the devil so persistent in trying to take hope from men? Hebrews 11 and 1. He is so persistent. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The literal substance of faith is what I hope for. The evidence of things not seen. That if he can get a hold of my hope, he can destroy my faith, he can destroy my gladness, my peace, my joy, my fear of the Lord, our trust, our praise, our worship, our dreams, our visions, our miracles. If he can get a hold of our hope, he can destroy you and I. Hebrews 6 and 18. If he can weasel his way in, and trust me, he can. He's done it to all of us before, where we have all lived in despair, where we've all lived in hopelessness, where we have all been down. He has done it to us. And he has taken apart our hope. And if he can get a hold of our hope, he can get a hold of our faith, and he can get a hold of our miracles. But look here. that by two immutable things in which it is impossible to God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold up the hope set before us. Next verse. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, for sure and steadfast, in which enter into within the veil. That hope is the anchor to our soul. It is the foundation of what we believe in. And when we anchor ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the storm starts to toss us to and fro, and no matter what we might be going through, no matter how hard we might be fighting, if I am anchored to the Lord Jesus Christ, I will not move. I may flow back and forth. I may get tossed around a little bit, but it doesn't matter, because if Christ be for me, then what can be against me? That no weapon formed shall prosper, because my anchor is in the Lord. And the only way to dislodge an anchor is to go against the current. It is to take your vessel and walk against everything that God did for you. It is to go back to the ways that you were, and it's to yank the anchor out from the rock. It is the only way to disarm or to take out an anchor from a rock. I don't know if any of you have ever been on a boat, but it's true. When you set an anchor, you have to drive the other way in order to get it out. It's the same thing with our lives. It's the same thing with our souls. The only way that we can get out of the blessings of God is to turn away from the Holy Ghost and to uproot the anchor from Christ and to take your life into your own hands. But this anchor holds itself true to Jesus Christ, the rock that is mine. Oh, hallelujah. You see, when we talk about hope and what is called despair, we think about Job and what Job had to go through, because he went through it. Matter of fact, if I went through what he went through, I probably wouldn't be a Christian. I mean, if I lost all of my children, I would have some serious questions and some serious doubts if I lost my entire family. If the afflictions that were happening to me that happened to Job, I would have some serious questions unto the Lord. You see, Job had everything. Faith in the true God. His health, his family, he had riches beyond himself. He had a hedge of protection that he built with the mighty God. And we all know the story. I'm just going to go through it real quick. That one day a servant came to Job. The servant said, "Your oxen, the farm animals, were plowing and the donkeys were eating together. But then people from the nation called Sabeeb attacked. They took the animals. They killed all the servants. While that servant was still speaking, another servant arrived. This other servant said, fire came down from God in heaven. The fire burned your sheep and fire burned your servants. Another servant, while he was still speaking, came. People from the nation of Chadea, there were three groups. They stole your camels. They killed your servants. One more servant arrived. This last servant said, your sons and your daughters were with your oldest son's house. They were eating together and when they were drinking wine. But then a great wind blew the desert. It was so strong that the whole house fell down. Everybody died. I alone escaped to tell you." And what was the only thing that Job could do? He rented his clothes. And he shaved his head bald to show that he had nothing left. And he goes on and he continues to praise God. He gets on his knees and he says, "I had nothing when I was born, and I will have nothing when I died. God gave me things to me, many good things to me. Now God has taken them away, but I will still praise God." But Job's troubles weren't done. No, they weren't done. The next thing was the attack on the body, for the boils that showed up on his body, and they were everywhere, and they were sore, and they were on every part of Job's body. And then the closest thing to Job betrayed him, besides God, the closest thing is your spouse, for those who are married. And it says, you cannot continue to live as a good man now. Curse God, and then you die. But Job told her, your words are foolish. God gives good things to us. But I want you to notice something. How Satan attacks. Because it's shown in Job's. Notice how the devil will try to steal hope from you. First, with the tangible things. He took his farm. He took his animals, everything that he made money with. He took away his material things first. So he's going to take away your car. He's going to take away your job. He's going to do these things in order to get you to lose hope, to ask you, what am I doing wrong? And when we should start cleaving to God more, he goes on to your children, and he begins to isolate your children, and they start to act out and rebel. Some children may die. Some children may leave the household, but he attacks your children. And then the next thing he does is he attacks the closest thing to you, your wife or your husband, your spouse. And when all this has done, the only thing left, if it hasn't worked, is to attack your body with sickness. After one thing, after another, after another, after another, after another in your life, I would have some serious questions to my Lord and Savior. Because that's my humanity. That is my carnal mind. That is me thinking in the flesh. I have some serious questions about my faith. And I want you to see how Job began to question God. It wasn't about his faith, but it was about his hope. He said, where then is my hope? Who can see any hope for me? At least there is hope for a tree if it is cut down. It will sprout again, and with new shoots it will not fail. Even a tree has more hope than I. This is what is called despair. Despair is the opposite of what hope is. As you are being attacked over and over and over again, and you are feeling that feeling of hopelessness, you have found despair. And this is what despair leads you to. It will lead you to activities that you once thought were fun, you will leave. Thoughts and behaviors and feelings and senses of well-being will now be low. Depressed people may feel sad, anxious, empty, hopeless, worried, helpless, worthless, guilty, irritable, hurt, or restless. If you are feeling this right now, this is what despair is, and it's what it leads to. They may lose interest in activities that once were pleasurable, experience loss of appetite or overeating, have problems concentrating, remembering details, making decisions, attempting suicide, insomnia, excessive sleep, fatigue, loss of energy, aches and pains, digestive problems. All of this comes from despair and depression. I mean, how many of us had that first love crush girlfriend and you lost her? And you didn't eat for like 2 weeks. It happens. I know some people in here are going through that first love loss thing, and it's real. It's the real deal. It's like someone died, or you lost a loved one and you were so depressed and you were hurt. It's despair that the devil wants you to feel. But Job rises up. And he says, though he slay me, and this is a different translation, yet will I hope in him. Another translation says, I will trust in him, but I will hope in him, for the anchor is Jesus Christ. And if my anchor is on Jesus, then it doesn't matter what happens to me, because my life is in his hands. And if he calls me away, then death is only gain. And that is my hope, that when I die, I am eternally with him, worshiping him. But if my hope is in the material things of this world, then that's where you will die. The second death in the material things of this world. Hope tells us that when I am in the valley, to look up at the mountain and to say that I can climb it, that over that mountain there is something greater. It is the feeling of hope. And then faith begins to activate, because faith is the action of what you hope for. And you will begin to put your hand up on that rock and climb one by one. And you'll pull yourself up over a cliff and a ridge. It doesn't matter if you slip and fall, because you know your hope is on top of that mountain. And Jesus is waiting for you. That no matter how deep the valley, there is always a mountain on the other side. And you will climb, and hope says to never give up, to keep pushing, that I will keep fighting, that I will not take defeat. And I will not hold on to hope that is material, but I will hold on to hope that is in Christ, the hope that strengthens me. Because God will never give up on me. He will never lose hope in me. So I will never lose hope in Him. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou my trust from the youth. If you are battling with trust issues, then put your hope in the Lord. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. If you're having trouble praising, then put your hope in the Lord continually. Remember the word unto Thy servant, upon which Thou hast cast me hope. If we humble ourselves as servants, He will show us how to hope truthfully. My soul fainteth for my salvation, but I hope in Thy word. When life wears us down and makes us faint, hope will give me strength. Thou art a hiding place and my shield. I hope in Thy word. If Thou need a place of rest or a shield, hope in the Lord. Upon me according unto my word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. That if I ever feel ashamed or discouraged, let me look at the hope of Christ on Calvary. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, and those that hope in His mercy. If you know that you're a sinner and you need mercy upon your life, then hope in the Lord. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness. If you need gladness and happiness and joy in your life, then place your hope in the Lord. Let Israel hope in the Lord for henceforth and forever. The hope that can pull you out of your situation, your job situation, your family situation, the hope that can save family members, the hope that can heal the sick, the disease, the suffering, and the ones that need to be healed, the hope that godly dreams and visions would be fulfilled, the hope that Christ will return one day and that I can have eternal life with Him. Hope is the base and the foundation of everything that I believe in. Everything that I put my trust in. And I'm coming to a close here. Many people may have lost hope in the church. I know if you look across America, many people have lost hope in the church. And many people have lost hope in their miracles because they no longer trust in the Lord. They no longer trust that the Lord can do it. And it's just the reality of our flesh and our carnality, the doubt that is seeping in. But it reminds me of the woman with the issue of blood. She had it for a long time. Was it 12 years? 12 years. She put her faith in doctors and people of this world in order to be healed. And through that 12-year period of being sick in blood and having a disease, some people say it was a disease of bleeding out. Other people say it might have been sickle cell. I don't really know. She was in pain for 12 years of her life, and nothing could help her. She spent all of her money on doctors. She spent all of her time thinking that this was going to work. And all of her hope that she had in these things was being destroyed, and it was eroding day by day by day when she saw the results not working. And because of this, this put her in a corner on a street somewhere where she was depressed and alone and hurting. For 12 years, she was on that street. But let me tell you how hope begins to work. She has a need of healing, yet she starts to hear the chatter of Jesus Christ. He heals the blind, he heals the sick, he heals the lame. Everyone that sees him, he is healing them. And she begins to, who is this Christ? Who is this person that you are all talking about? Who is he? I have a need and I need to go to him. And her hope began to be put into this name, Jesus Christ. And when she finally got to see him, she must not have been strong enough to stand up and walk to them, but she got down on her knees and she began to crawl through the crowd and the multitude of people. And I don't know about you, if everyone is trying to rush somewhere, she was being kicked. She was being beaten. But this is where faith comes into play, is that her hope welled up so much inside her that her faith began to crawl towards Christ. And because she was crawling towards Christ, she may have been kicked, she may have been beaten, but nothing was going to stop her. And she crawled on and she crawled on and she would not give up. And when she grabbed the hem of his garment and he felt virtue leave his body, her hope and her faith activated her healing that God gave her. Hope is the beginning of your healing. It is the beginning of your faith. It is the beginning of your miracle. If we could all just stand. Proverbs says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but longing fulfill is a tree of life. That if you defer hope, if you defer it, your heart will become sick. It's what Proverbs says. King Solomon writing, and he says, your heart will be sick if you defer hope, if you discard it, if it means nothing to you, you will become sick in the heart. And the woman, and this is what happened to the woman, that she found Christ. She crawled to him. Nothing was going to stop her. She grabbed the hold and he said, I felt virtue leave my body. Who touched me? And the crowds do throng you. Jesus, what do you mean who touches you? He's like, no, I felt someone. How far are we willing to go in order to put hope in Christ and to get our miracles? There are people here who are sick and who need Jesus Christ, but your hope has been eroded away. And you have been hurting for so long that you don't even trust Jesus anymore. But I tell you now, our hope in the Lord is steadfast, and it is assurance that he is going to do what he said he was going to do. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. For these are the strongest things that we have in our Christian faith. If we could all just close our eyes. What is it that you hope for most? What is it that you hope for most? Is it a child to come back to God? Is it your spouse or your husband to find the Lord? What do you hope for most? That your family stays together. That the person that you love will love you in return. What is it that you hope for? And put it into the hands of God. and have faith that it will be done. Because hope, or because faith is the substance of things hoped for. We could go ahead and pray now. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for this message, that the foundation of my belief is hope, that the foundation of what I believe in, what I put my effort in, is hope, Lord, and that the foundation of religion, the thing that I believe in most, the thing that I love most, is hope. And that I want to put my hope in you, Lord, because you are the anchor, Lord. You are the rock that the hope of anchor goes on to, Lord. And I never want to let go of that rock, that I know storms are going to toss me to and fro. But God, I know that you'll never let me go, that the furthest I could fall would be right into your hands, Lord. Oh, mighty God. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the foundation of this word, hope. And have us carry it out into the world, because there is a world that is dark and dying that needs the light of hope. It needs something. It needs Christ. Like the woman who was with the issue of blood, she needed a word from Jesus. She needed to hear him. And to have hope and to be that beacon of light out into the world of people who are hurting, but they do not have the power of God. That we would bring hope to a people who are in despair. This is our prayer to you, Lord. Thank you. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.